You know, we saw the high in 2020, and then it's kind of been progressively slower since that time. That was a little bit of a bubble in our market. And so I think it slowed a little bit, but I think both housing prices and rents are going to be stable to slightly higher in 2024.
I'm Christina Gianni with the Hays Post and Eagle Radio, and I'm speaking with Doug Williams, Executive Director of Grow Hays, about housing in Hays on this episode of the Hays Post podcast.
I think we all know that. We have seen continued price increases because of this, partly in a couple things. One is material costs and that kind of thing for new construction is up, and that sometimes drives other existing housing up with it. But also the supply and demand situation in our community has continued to be out of whack. We've got more demand than we have supply. And when that happens, prices go up. And so we have seen the average sales price go up from, I believe, in 1920, it was $187,000. And last year it was just a shade under $250,000. So a fairly significant price increase. We've seen it in our property tax valuations from the county because they go off of comparable sales information. So until we get our supply and demand a little bit more into sync, we're going to have strong prices.
We talked about this a little bit last week about the monthly supply. And you said that there was about a monthly supply of about 3.5 months,
right?
Which tends to be a seller's market. Anything over 6 months is a buyer's market. So we're really in a seller's market at this point.
We continue to be in a seller's market. At year end, there were 70 active listings in the Hays MLS, residential listings. That's strictly Hays. And that gives us about a 3.5 month supply of inventory, which is the barometer analysts make in a market. And the common wisdom is that anything less than 6 months supply gives the seller a better advantage, and it is a seller's market. If it's over 6 months, that means there's excess inventory on the market, and buyers have a better opportunity to get a better price, and that pushes prices down. So we're still in a seller's market, not as bad as we have been. We've been in a situation where we had, I think, 1.2 months of supply, but we continue to be in a seller's market.
You talked a little bit about what was needed to really meet the goal of growth in Hays. And I think the overall growth rate that we'd like to see would be at least 1%, which is really much higher than even all the surrounding counties, which tend to be losing population right now, but we don't have enough housing and haven't had in a number of years to meet that growth goal.
And that's right. And you know, the 1% number is a number we put out as a goal. It's a lofty goal. You know, it's one could even say it's not really realistic, but we put that out there as our objective. And to meet that, we need about 88 new units to come on the market each year. That's to meet the additional demand that those people moving to our community would have to replace existing housing that gets torn down. And so that's where we come up with in housing studies, they come up with the 88 units. And we've fallen well short of that for the last 10 years. And that is part of what creates this out of sync market we have and why it's such a seller's market versus a more balanced market. Now, as I noted in the presentation, interest rates have slowed things down a little bit. We see that in the number of transactions. We see that in the total volume that the MLS has. But nonetheless, we still are not meeting the need to attain that 88 units per year. And so our ability to grow at that 1% level is not possible if we don't have sufficient housing. And that's why, as economic development organization, we push so hard to promote housing.
Well, you also kind of talked a little bit about what was selling at this point. And if you look at a pie graph of what was sold in the last year, it seems to be that 150 to 250 range is really what people have been willing to buy right now.
Yeah, that is the sweet spot in our market. Almost half of the volume comes in that 150 to 250 price range. That's the price range of the tall grass homes, and that explains why so many of those have, well, all of those have sold before they're even complete, and they continue to, and why there continues to be such strong demand in that price range. It's an affordable range. You know, we can, everybody has a different definition of what affordable housing is, but nonetheless, when we look at the market, that is the area that has the most activity. That is the most transactions, the most dollar volume of homes. And so that's where we continue to see strong, strong market. These numbers in that price range have really not dropped off at all. And have actually, if there was more inventory in that price range, we would have more activity in that range.
And those tend to be like 3-4 bedrooms, like 2 bath kind of situations.
Yeah, I mean, if I use Tallgrass as an example, there's 3 bedrooms, 2 baths, 2-car garage. It may be in some of the other areas that are a little older, homes built in the 80s and 90s, they may have a 1-car garage. We have a fair number of those. May have a finished basement and a fenced yard, you know, that a lot of, obviously a new home doesn't have. But yeah, that 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 2-car garage is kind of the staple of that price range.
You know, you also had some interesting information about property taxes. And I know that a lot of people have been really frustrated with their assessed valuations and the amount of property tax that they're paying right now. But really, when you look at comparable communities like Pittsburgh, Emporia, Garden City, Dodge City, we're actually the lowest of those in comparable mill levy and taxes paid.
We are. Hayes, City of Hayes mill levy for 2023 property taxes, it's, I believe, 118 and some change, a little under 119. You go down to a Garden City, and I believe it's over 180 mills. And so we do have a lower mill levy, and that's for a couple of reasons. One is that the city has a sales tax that funds a lot of the activities, their requirements, and so they don't levy as much as most cities do for property tax. We have a strong oil valuation in Ellis County, which a lot of counties don't. And so that helps reduce our mill levy. And then the other piece of that equation, obviously, is the property values. And what I demonstrated in the presentation, we hear all the time, you know, that Hayes property values are outrageous and it's crazy and that kind of thing. But if you look, I just did a search on realtor.com online for those other communities and compared them to Hayes. And most of those other communities, with a couple of exceptions, the homes, the median sales asking price on those markets was a fair amount higher than Hayes. And then furthermore, I extended that out, what their property taxes are on a medium-priced home versus what ours are, and they're quite a bit higher. So in spite of the fact that none of us like to pay property tax, relative to other places, comparable cities, we're a fair amount lower.
Yeah. So finally, why don't you give us a quick update about what do you think 2024 is going to look like in the housing market?
I gave a couple of predictions, and I'm certainly, you know, everybody's got an opinion and who knows. But I think we're going to continue to see sales prices stay, property values stay basically where they are, maybe trending up a little bit. We still have this seller's market. There's still not enough supply in certain ranges. So I think certain price ranges are going to continue to go up a little bit. I think we'll probably level out in terms of numbers of transactions and overall volume in the market. You know, we saw the high in 2020, and then it's kind of been progressively slower since that time. That was a little bit of a bubble in our market, and so I think it slowed a little bit. But I think both housing prices and rents are going to be stable to slightly higher in 2024.
Okay. And you talked about a couple of needs that we still don't have lots in the Northwest area to build in or east of Hayes. And there's really need for more diverse rental options. A lot of 2 bedrooms out there, but not very many 3 bedrooms.
Yeah, we've consistently built the same type of rental property, you know, 2-bedroom, 1-bath. And one, if it is a duplex, it might have a 1-car garage. We have very few 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 3-car garage type, or 2-car garage duplex offerings. And if you go to other communities like ours and say Kearney and other places like that, you'll see a lot of that. So we do need to diversify our rental options a little bit. And then in terms of the lot availability, you know, we're basically out of lots in the northwest part of town. So if you look at that whole area north of 41st Street, that built up over a 15-year period of time, we don't have that in the northwest area right now. We've got a few lots on Royal Court, and that's it. And no developments really on the horizon in the northwest area. And while we're meeting the needs with the Tallgrass addition, we're trying to meet that, say, 250 and under price range. We are not, there's that price range of, say, 300 to 500, 550. And we're not meeting that very well with new inventory on the market. So both on the east side and the northwest, we really need to be focused on some lot development in those areas. And being, you know, we've got the Grove, which is going to focus to a retiree, primarily a retiree market. Tallgrass, which focuses on basically first-time buyers and those type of things. So in that middle is where we're lacking.
Okay. Well, as we wrap up today, Doug, we have the exciting Micro Factory groundbreaking next week. Remind us when that's going to be and who's all going to be there.
Yeah, it's our ribbon cutting next week on the 13th at 10 a.m. at the Micro Factory. It's done. Go by there, and even the signs light up, and then the exterior lights are up. And Lieutenant Governor David Toland will be here, and I think some local representatives are going to attend as well. And we're gonna cut the ribbon and christen the facility, and we'd love to have a big crowd out there. We got a whole bunch of chairs that we're going to set up out there, so we got room for a lot of people. We'll have some refreshments, and you can kind of see what the building looks like and what an amazing project that has turned out to be.
As far as I understand, the last time we talked, you still don't have anybody in the building yet.
We don't have any occupants as of yet. We've got some prospects and are always looking for additional prospects. But we're confident that we will have somebody and real soon. And the other, you know, one thing that I'd like to mention, I guess, while we're on the air here is the rental amount that is being charged for that facility is $8 a square foot. So if you use an example of 5,000 square feet for easy math, that is $40,000 a year, $3,000 a month, a little more. That includes utilities. That's all inclusive. To build 5,000 square feet would cost somewhere in the neighborhood of, probably $750,000, $800,000. Plus you'd have property tax and you'd have utilities on that. No way you occupy that space for under $4,000 a month. So sometimes people get confused. They think it's $8 a square foot per month. That's an annualized basis. So it's important to note that distinction.
Well, who do they need to get a hold of if they want to be involved in renting some of that space?
Well, they should call our office. In particular, David Klingen has been the architect of the Micro Factory, and he's the guy to contact. He has all the information and can visit with anybody and provide whatever they need.